The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Since we've marked the Protestant Reformation on the day that Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the church doors of Wittenberg, Germany on October 31st, 1517, we've commemorated this movement for a little over 500 years now. For over 500 years, the Lutheran understanding of the gospel has been to convey to the world a God who is gracious to a people who feel burdened by the notion of a God who might not be gracious, an understanding of themselves in which they might feel that they're not good enough for God's love, or that they can never be forgiven for anything they've done. The Lutheran Reformation seeks to offer a witness to counter that notion and that feeling. But just last month, the year 2022, someone had commented publicly on social media to me and said, "I feel so much fear about going to hell. I repent all the time, but I'm still afraid because of my hidden sins, etc." What I'm finding is that that's not an uncommon burden for people to have in our society today. I've encountered people leaving the faith altogether, and that's one of those things. They say that they are constantly in a state of anxiety that they won't receive God's eternal salvation. And that trauma takes a toll on people, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Perhaps some of us who might have been Lutheran Christians our whole life or for a long time now take for granted what it means to be justified, that it's not our work, but the work of Christ on the cross that has saved us and made us new. That we can trust in a God who's loving and forgiving, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and abounding in steadfast love. A God who has promised to never let us go, and that death does not have the final mark or say on us. Many of us might understand that historical context and conflict of what sparked the Reformation of the 16th century. But we have to be vigilant to that burden that people carry with them today, because they are experiencing that, and it's not confined to one expression or denomination of Christianity in our world. People feel burdened. They're enslaved by a message that is contrary to the good news of Jesus Christ. Too many people in our society have manipulated the gospel. They've manipulated the use of music. They've manipulated the use of entertainment. They've manipulated cultural identity and politics to enslave people to a message filled with fear and not love, hate and not hope, a relationship with God whose love is conditional and not unconditional. And we need to offer our witness of a good and gracious God to counter that in the world. And on the other hand, we do live in a society that is oblivious to sin. Now, I do believe that that's in part because of how the concept of sin itself has been weaponized to control and harm people in our world. So for some to walk away from the faith entirely, I do not begrudge them. I hold those who hijack the gospel responsible for that. But we cannot be selective, and we tend to be. While some in our world are burdened by their sins, others are oblivious. And we might be better at seeing the sin of our neighbor than fail to look in the mirror and see our own sin. I know I am, right? So easy to see that speck of dust in all your eyes, but hard to see the plank that's in my own. In contrast to those who feel burdened, there are many who believe they don't have a problem. We're not enslaved to anyone. They only see the problem of sin in those people, those peoples that they don't like, and conveniently don't see it in themselves. Or make certain sins into such an idol that they're passionately against, that we can neglect other things in the world that are a product of sin as well. So I can see it in them, but I won't see it in those people that I do like. Right? What kind of witness is that? People see right through that. They see that inconsistency. And that kind of approach, that kind of witness, will make people oblivious to sin. They don't take us seriously in being concerned for God's love for the world and how people are truly harmed and oppressed. They can see that we're more wrapped up in our own judgment of the world as opposed to God's love for it. So without a strong witness to God's grace in the world, while taking and not taking seriously the sin of the world at the same time, there are those who feel helpless and there are those who feel spiritually homeless. So the reality in our world today, in 2022, I believe that the Reformation witness of the Lutheran movement is still valid. There is help for those who are burdened, who feel that God's love is conditional and are burdened by their own sin. There is a home for those who have left churches filled with a weaponized message of Christianity. They can find home and welcome here. For in Jesus we are born anew in the living and abiding Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus, the Word made flesh. And when we continue in the Word, as Jesus says in our gospel lesson today, we continue to dwell in Christ. The scriptures, the traditions of the church enable us to continue in the living and abiding Word of God, Jesus Christ. And when the Spirit gathers us as church together, we are reminded of the home that we have with the Word of God. That word of forgiveness, that word of promise, that word that comes to us in the gifts of bread and wine, we are made new in that living and abiding Word, and we continue in this Word. And in that good news that each of us have a home with God right now. That we are made free in Christ right now. And we trust in that promise that the Word of God, Jesus Christ, is and has the final word. If this is good news, if you hear this and this is good news to you, and what God has done for you brings joy to your life, then share that joy. Share that love with others. Because you don't know how many people are out there that feel spiritually helpless or spiritually homeless. And I can assure you, it's more people than you think. Now in our gospel lesson, we hear that word truth. And I believe in our Western ears that we hear that word truth and it's like, well, that means we have to have this monopoly on truth or we have to have it all figured out. Folks, we wouldn't be commemorating a Reformation from the 16th century if we have any sense that the church could ever have it all figured out, right? There is a phrase, Ecclesia Semper Reformata, the church must always be reformed. We acknowledge that the church is always reforming, and that should be quite liberating and freeing, that we do not or will not have it all figured out, that the Holy Spirit continues to guide us as we seek to passionately understand what it means to be faithful. What it means to be faithful to God and to God's church and in the world. That doesn't mean we're always going to agree either, by the way. That there's going to be differences of opinion and understanding as we discern where God is calling us. Just open your Bibles. Read Acts of the Apostles. There's disagreements from the beginning, right? That's simply the nature of the church. We gather together as community and we discern how to be faithful and bear witness to God's love in the world. The need to have it all figured out, to draw hard lines over different understandings and disagreements, has led to visible division, a scandal in our witness, and even the dehumanizing and dismissing of fellow Christians as being Christian. Now, over the summer, I spent a day in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And I went to the seminary campus. I went to Gettysburg Seminary. And there's a relatively new museum on that campus. And some don't realize that it was a Lutheran seminary during the Civil War. And so there are some interesting exhibits about the Civil War through the lens of faith. It's a reminder of how divided Christians were on the question of slavery during that time. We might think of our disagreements and divisions today as insurmountable. Imagine being a Christian during the time of the Civil War. It's a reminder that churches are always deliberating something in every era, in every part of the world. There was one exhibit that said, "What does the Bible say?" And there were Bible verses that were used to support slavery, and there were Bible verses that used to support the abolishment of slavery. And in that exhibit, there was a quote from Abraham Lincoln that read, "Both read the same Bible and pray to the same God. In every era, we will seek to be faithful and discern the issues that confront the church and society of that day. There will be disagreements among churches and within churches. But we pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us along that way and will continue to lead to our embodiment of God's liberating love, that in the end would prevail in our witness and ministry." Even in that exhibit, there were, I think, it listed like three denominations, Lutheran, Methodist, Lutheran, and Presbyterian. And when some of them had splits during the time of the Civil War, and it wasn't until the 1900s where they could get back together, right? Our unity is at the foot of the cross, folks. It's not grounded in our agreements and disagreements. It's at the foot of the cross. That's where we look to. And in our congregation this weekend, we will receive new members that we give thanks to God that they will continue to share their witness in the world. And we rejoice that they'll be living out their discipleship in this community of faith and that they will add to our discernment and conversation in how we can continue to be faithful in the church and the society in which we live in. Now, going back to those people who feel burdened in our society, all of this should give us a bit of breathing room here. Because it comes down to feeling that we can't have it all figured out. We cannot make a mistake. But there's grace, folks, because we're not going to have it all figured out. We're going to make mistakes. Continuing in the Word means that we're invited into the abyss and depth of God's love and truth. Right? You're not going to have Jesus all figured out. Those of you who have been married for decades, you don't have your spouse figured out, do you? Right? I'm serious, right? You don't have your kid. You can spend a lifetime and not figure out the closest people in your lives. I'm still trying to figure myself out, right? It's the depth of love that Jesus invites us to here in continuing the Word. We continue in that Word and we're reminded over and over of God's promise. And that promise is not contingent. It's not conditional on what you do. It's not contingent on your works or accomplishments. It's not contingent on how you vote or where you stand on the issues of the day. It's not dependent in you having it all figured out or doing everything right 100% of the time. The promise is unconditionally grounded in God's love for each and every one of us and all of God's creation, period. It's a promise poured out for us by God's amazing love on the cross. The promise made for us by the one who became homeless so that each of us could have an eternal home. The promise made by the one who became a slave so that we could be freed from all that enslaves us in the world. That's the witness of the Reformation in the 16th century that's still relevant today. For we are saved by grace through faith, and our faith is in the one who is faithful all the way to the cross. It's a relevant witness in the world where people are wondering if they're good enough to be loved by God. Or they have questions of whether or not a loving God can exist in a broken world, in a world that's oblivious to its own sin and how it's harming people. We carry out into the world a good news for people to hear and to receive. That the cross in and of itself is a witness of how much God loves us and how much God wants to be in relationship with us. That we are invited to share that love in the world, to be the healing hands of Christ in the world as the body of Christ. The good news is that we can point to the reality of sin in the world while not burdening people with that reality, because we point to the cross. We point to the freedom that we follow the way of the one who is love in this broken world, who has made and will make all things new, that we pray will one day will be on earth as it is in heaven. Let us cling to that promise today. Let us cling to that witness that it is by grace we've been saved, not by what we do, but by this amazing gift that comes from God. Thanks be to God. Amen.